brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYAR, 1-800-836-9278. Well, we have Abercrombie and Fitch. You know, that clothing retailer, boy, what would be the proper punishment for them? It's just a clothing outlet. They put out catalogs. I wonder if, for the CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch, if would the death penalty be too much? Huh? Do you think the death penalty would be too much for the publisher of Abercrombie & Fitch clothing catalog? What do you think? Let's see. Their cover promises of a current catalog, 280 pages, and this is a catalog geared toward kids, teenagers, young people. It promises 280 pages of sex and Xmas fun, and about half of the catalog features Abercrombie kids posed either nude or in sexually provocative stances, with alone, in couples, and threesomes. And that's their Abercrombie kids. So how's that? And I won't describe to you some of the particulars. I have an article here from the American Family Association, their latest journal, January 2003. The AFA, they're just great. They're just a great organization. They're the ones that have the 1milliondads.com and 1millionmoms.com. They also point out in this edition that Disney once again is promoting homosexuality to America, to our youth, this time through their ABC television division. Disney owns ABC, and Disney has relentlessly foisted homosexuality on America's families, kids, through their programming, movies. And now they have a new TV show coming out, sort of modeled after the old Heart to Heart. Anybody remember Heart to Heart? The husband and wife in detective team. Somebody got murdered on every episode of Heart to Heart when the husband and wife, they were at a restaurant or on a boat, on a cruise. And wherever they went, someone would get murdered, and then they would investigate and figure out who did it. Well, ABC has a new Heart to Heart out, only it's called Mr. and Mr. Nash. Two homos who are going to lead this crime-solving drama, one-hour weekly drama. So isn't that just great? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Disney did a piece. They did a movie, actually. See, Disney owns Miramax, and Miramax puts out just a ton of filthy movies. And one, I'm not even going to give the title, but it was supposedly done like a documentary or a docudrama about a teenage sex. And of course, to be realistic, they have to fill the movie with loads of teenage sex. And forget what the conservative Christians said about the movie. It was the secular critics who accused Disney of just voyeurism. Now, for the public school teachers tuning in right now, they were saying that Disney was only using that topic as an excuse to do a movie about teen sex. They just wanted to have a lot of teen sex in a movie, so they made believe it was a documentary. So let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Indianapolis, Joe, speak your mind.
Hello?
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Bob.
I recognize this voice. Is this Xu Yen Zhou?
That's right. It's me.
Hello. All the way here in Indianapolis, all the way from China.
Yes.
Well,
guess what?
What?
I'm pregnant again.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm 4 months pregnant. I just want you to know that I'm so happy and nobody killed my baby now.
Oh, yes, Joe.
And I can have a mini baby I want now. So.
Amen. You and my good friend Rich married sometime after you made it here to America, after you grew up in China, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And the Chinese government had forcibly arrested you and was going to abort your baby.
Yes.
And with your dad's help, you escaped.
Yes.
And were put on a ship of refugees and came to America. But because of you were in a hospital for a short time, right?
Yes.
And what did they do to you that you ended up very sick on the refugee ship? What happened?
I became really sick, and the government gave me a pill. And,
either an abortion pill or something to get you ready to be aborted.
Yeah, I don't know what that pill called, but that the pill gave it to me, I swallowed. They make me swallow it. And then after I swallowed it, and about 5 minutes later, I jumped out the window.
You were on a second floor of a hospital in China. What province in China, can you say?
Fujian. Fuzhou is F-U, that's how it's spelled, F-U-Z-H-O-U, that's the town I grew up with.
Okay, Fuzhou.
That's right.
And your family helped you escape from that hospital.
Yes.
And you jumped from the window, a second floor.
Yes.
Somewhat injured, but you were put on a ship.
Uh-huh.
And then you got off the coast of California, but on the way, you had almost died on the ship, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And because of your health was so bad that while most people were kept on the ship, you were put on a helicopter and brought to a hospital where? In California?
Yes.
And
they took me to the the hospital, Los Angeles, San Diego Hospital. That's it.
All right. And then after you recovered, then you had fled China and escaped because they tried to kill your baby, and your baby did die, right?
It's gone.
Oh, what a tragedy. But you know what? The Lord has your baby.
Yeah, the baby I know is in heaven.
That's right. Well, praise God for that. And then our government must have welcomed you here to America because you fled the communist Chinese. Were you welcomed here?
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, we welcome you, but the government put you in jail, right?
Yeah, they put me in 5 years in jail.
5 years in jail. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Bob Binyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. If you're in Colorado, we invite you to come out to church Sunday, every Sunday morning or evening to Denver Bible Church. Call us up for directions. If you're elsewhere around the country, we're so glad you tune in to Bob Binyard Live, whether on the web at kgov.com or on your local radio affiliate. If you'd like to help us continue to reach out to people like Xu Yen Zhou, who's just called in from Indianapolis. I didn't know she'd be calling. But one of our audience members fought to get Xu Yen out of jail successfully. And then Xu Yen ended up marrying one of our other audience members, and we were so thrilled. And now they have this their second child. And so Bob Binyard Live, we teach the Bible, present the principles that are in the Bible, but not just, of course, not just about forgive and go to Sunday school and give money to church. And I know all churches do a lot more than just that, but we apply the biblical principles to the issues of today. A Chinese refugee in an American prison unjustly, we fight to get her out and to get her married so she doesn't get shipped back off to China. If you can help us, please, we can use a monthly pledge to keep Bob Binyard Live on the radio in your city or on the internet. You can call us and order the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible, the plot on audio tape. We have dozens of albums, Bible teaching albums, videotapes like on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, on criminal justice, the death penalty, a lot of debates with atheists and homosexuals and ACLU directors. We just have a lot of fun. So give us a call, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And now, for those of you who tune in on the internet, you get what happens there after the. We do these spots live, which is why sometimes during the commercial break we just goof off. Or we just do show material. Or we might take a call during a commercial break. And the first 2 minutes of the first segment goes out on our radio affiliates over IRN, our Information Radio Network. And the rest of the spots are just local. Not local. They're just on KGov, KGov.com. So after we do 2 minutes, we pause a little bit. Then we, you know, try to reset our thinking and figure out, are we going to do show material, take a call, do another commercial, give out our phone number. Our phone number's right on the website, KGov.com. So maybe we don't have to give it out. But maybe if I do, you'll call. So call, 800-8-NYART. We're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And we're speaking with Xuyen Zhou, who, Xuyen, so you were fleeing China, basically trying to save your baby's life.
Yes.
And you got here in what year?
When I got here was 1993.
1993, so the Clintons were in the White House, right?
Yes.
Yes, and you were put in jail for 5 years.
Yes.
You know, if you would have been of a demographic that maybe you'd vote Democratic, they would have allowed you to come in no problem. But since you were fleeing a communist country that murders children, gives women no choice whatsoever, violently arrests and aborts children, infanticide epidemic, since you were from that country, fleeing for the life of your child, they put you in jail.
Yep.
And then I'm so thankful that one of our audience members fought to get you out of jail.
Yep.
And then as soon as you got out of jail after 5 years, you went right to Congress and testified.
That's right.
Joe, that was amazing.
You know, I'm not afraid of them anymore because I just trust God that I can't wait to have a judgment someday.
Yes.
I can judge every one of them who have hurt me. At that time, when I have a bad time, you know, they grab me, put me in jail. They make me swallow the pills.
Right. They killed
you. And they kicked my doors in. And
Oh, that was in China? In China, they kicked your door in?
Oh, yes. Three natives grabbed my arms. And I was in the bed in the morning. And they just come in the door. And they never locked the door, anything, just kicked the door. That's it.
Yes.
And they never give me a chance to talk in 1 second.
So
they just want me to be quiet and follow the rules from wherever they go and they go.
Right. Now, Joe, you're saying that you're looking forward to Judgment Day?
Yes. Yes.
On Judgment Day, do you think that God will let you judge these people?
Yes.
You do? Does the Bible say that?
I think so.
I think you're right. Because the Bible says on Judgment Day that we believers, we will judge the world.
We will judge the angel too.
That's right. We will judge the angels and we'll judge the wicked. We'll judge those who hurt us.
Yes.
Now, the people who killed your baby, have you forgiven them?
No, I never
Praise.
Forgive them. Every time when I see Chinese people,
yes,
and I just remind me those hateful, you know, like, man, what they done to those women, you know,
right.
What they done to us.
Right, so many, millions of women.
I know, and so many women cry in a hospital.
Yeah, and if you forgave them, now Jesus said if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And
but I don't have a chance to rebuke them, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you could do it over the airwaves. You could rebuke them right on this show. They might not hear it.
Yeah, but you know what? Guess what? I talk a lot of Chinese people about my life.
Yes.
And they sounds like they afraid to talk about it. They keep thinking, hey, that's all government, all people. How dare you talk about all people?
Oh, really?
And I say, oh, my God, you know, what are you afraid to stand up for yourself?
Right. You mean people, you know, people even here in America?
Oh, yes.
Chinese immigrants here who, and they don't like you saying what the Chinese communists did to you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
One time I went to work and in a Chinese restaurant, they fired me because of that.
Oh, my.
Because I speak about Chinese government, what they did to me.
Right.
And I know that they did to her, too, when she was, like, the first child.
Right.
And they abort her for child. And then the second time when she came here, and then she have a baby, a boy, a second child in this country. And even I speak about them, what's going on there, and they just hate it. They say, oh, my God, how dare you talk about all people. Yes, they bad, but still all government. That's what she answered me. It's all government, all people.
Well, and in China, they outlawed brothers and sisters. It's against the law to have a brother or a sister in China because the parents are only allowed to have one child.
Yeah.
And so if you're a baby, you can't have any brothers and no sisters. And millions of little girls have been killed because the parents need a boy to work the farm.
That's right. That's right.
And now there's 10 million Chinese men that have no women to marry.
Guess what? They just some people, their kids, they grow up, and they just go all over their country. The same thing.
Hmm.
They kill the baby girl and they keep the baby boy. And when they grow up, they don't have food to eat and place to live.
It's so tragic. And, you know, Planned Parenthood, they're pro-abortion, and they say they're pro-choice, and they've given many tens of millions of dollars to the Chinese government, even though the Chinese don't have any choice at all. So Planned Parenthood is not pro-choice. They support killing babies in whatever form they can get it.
That's awful.
Hey Joe, when you testified in Congress and you told what your story, and our American government kept you in jail for 5 years. And I was so thankful that one of our audience members worked to help to get you out of jail.
Yes.
And then, if I remember correctly, the day after you testified in Washington, on a Friday, you came to our seminar in Indianapolis on a Saturday.
That's how I met you.
That's right. So you were on C-SPAN Friday. The next day from Washington, you were in Indianapolis. And at the seminar, we told your story, and you did a marvelous job speaking English that you had taught yourself in jail.
Yeah.
And then we said to the audience, the men in the audience, after the seminar, come to dinner, and perhaps one of you men will be good enough to marry Joe.
That's right.
And when is the first time you met your husband?
The same day I met you.
That's right, at that dinner, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Rich Hulst, my good friend, strong Christian man, he saw you, he saw how beautiful you were, and he said, I'd like to marry Joe.
Yeah, and then he talked to me a lot about Bible, you know, and beginning was, I know about God, but I'm not really pretty sure that I don't know about the law and the grace. And he teach me a lot about the Bible.
And he taught you how to live by grace?
Yeah.
By God's grace. And now you're having your second baby?
Yes, I'm 4 months pregnant now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Could I say congratulations to your husband? Is he there?
Yes, he listened to the radio
now. Oh, good. Well, Rich, come on, pick up the phone. I want to say congratulations.
Okay. Missy, I give it to his phone, okay?
Okay. God bless you,
good,
Joe.
Okay.
Hello.
Rich.
I was outside in my vehicle listening because we can't pick up your radio show from inside of our home.
All right. Well, you made it in record time.
Well, that's because I heard you saying, "Can I say hi to your husband tonight?"
Right. Hey, Rich, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Tell the audience about your first precious baby.
Well, she's 17 months old, and her name's Mary. Mary Jo, actually.
Mary Jo.
Named after my wife and after Jesus' mother, Mary.
Oh.
And which is a great witnessing tool because people ask, who did you name her after? And I said, we named her after the mother of the most important person who ever lived.
Oh.
And some people get that. Some people say, well, who was that?
Who's that?
And then I say, Jesus Christ.
That's great. That is just great. Well, I'm so happy for you. My whole family, I know, a lot of our family members are listening. Many have met you and your wife, especially at the last Indianapolis seminar. So many of my family met you guys and your beautiful little daughter. So congratulations, Rich.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and keep up the good work.
What a blessed story. Thank you. Wow, that's neat. And that's part of what we want to accomplish here at Bob and Yurt Live. You know, there's a godly woman who escaped the communists. They tried to kill her baby, and they succeeded. Her baby died. She got here. Our government was still trying to deport her. Hey, what man will live the Christian life and marry this woman and take care of her and be the head of her household, her marriage, help to be a godly example to her children as you have children together, and protect her and care for her with your life? And I'm thrilled to say there were a number of men. It didn't hurt that Joe was a beautiful young woman. But praise the Lord, and that's neat. Let's go to Indianapolis again, 1-800-836-9278. David, speak your mind.
Yeah, I've got several things on my mind, but first one, listen to the conversations that you've had prior here, is I sometimes drive through downtown Indianapolis to go to take classes at IUPUI, which is Indianapolis, Purdue University at Indianapolis.
All right.
And there was a homosexual bar. At a stoplight, I had to stop to every time.
Okay.
And I saw these gay couples coming across, mainly men, and it's been closed down, and I'm so joyous.
You're happy that it's closed down?
Yeah, I mean, there's no lights on. There's, metal bars on the door,
yeah.
The inside door into the bar, is open against the weather, and it should be weather-beaten,
Right.
Yeah,
So you're saying, let me make sure I understand. You're saying so it's closed down and you're glad it's closed.
Oh, I certainly am.
Well, great.
It was an abomination every time I came across it.
Amen. I agree with you.
Yeah, and now this place is a deserted, ghost town.
Mm.
And I can't think that nothing except themselves brought that to them.
Well, homosexuality is destructive. The people who participate in that lifestyle, they have to fight constant depression, alcohol and drug abuse,
right.
Suicide, venereal disease, because it's
all of those and others not named may wipe them out.
It's a lifestyle that leads toward death. And that's when God said in the Bible, don't do certain things. It's because
Correct.
Those things lead toward death. That's what makes something a sin. Sin is behavior that leads toward death.
This vile place closed down with its open doors battering in the wind.
Right.
Actually,
All right.
I don't know. I don't want to prophetize, but it's a terrible. I'm glad it's gone.
All right, David, I agree with you. 1-800-836-9278. Hey, Bob Inyard here, and if you just heard, well, I'm sure you just heard, right? You must have just heard Xu Yan Zhou tell her story. And what a neat story. The tragic parts of what the government in China did to her, killing her baby, and what our government in America did to her, unjustly imprisoning her for 5 years because her crime was she was trying to save her baby from the communists who were killing her baby. And they did succeed in killing her baby. And she was fleeing to save her baby's life. That's exactly the kind of person that the Bible tells us that we need to care for and not turn our backs on and not exploit and not condemn. An innocent victim. And our government, America's government, was complicitous with the Chinese in what happened to Xu Yanzhou. We were guilty. And I'm thrilled, thank you, Lord, that people in this audience know right from wrong and fought to get her released. And then Rich, what a hero, one of my heroes, married her. And they've got a beautiful family now. Wow, that's neat. And that's Christianity. That's Christianity, not just praying before your meal and going to Sunday school and giving money to church. That's all, you know. Well, we want people to give money to our church, Denver Bible Church. The more the merrier. Sometimes we forget to take a collection. Now, chalk that up to priorities or stupidity? I chalk it up to stupidity when we forget to take a collection. But Christianity is more than praying before your meal and going to Sunday school and giving money to church. It's confronting the wicked. The Bible, the New Testament, it says expose evil. And John the Baptist, he confronted the leader of the government for his wicked private life, for his sinful private behavior. John the Baptist did not forgive Herod. As remember, Billy Graham told us to forgive Bill Clinton. He said, there's no evidence that Bill Clinton did any of these things. And beside that, I forgive him. How could you forgive him if you don't even know if he did it? What does that mean, Billy? Welcome back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. If you live in Denver, you're invited to attend Denver Bible Church. Everybody else, well, you have to fly here first, then come and visit. In Westminster, Mark, speak your mind.
Bob?
Yes, Mark.
Did you watch O'Reilly this evening by any chance?
Oh, really, O'Reilly? I didn't. Tell me. What happened?
Well, one little segment he had on a 12 or 13-year-old, foster child living with a family.
Yeah.
Who had a 23-year-old son. He raped the 12-year-old.
Oh.
Got her pregnant.
Oh.
She went to Planned Parenthood.
How old is he?
Well, he's 23, and he admitted to the he's in jail now.
All right.
He admitted to the offense. She goes to Planned Parenthood. They abort the baby. They murder the baby.
Of course.
And then 6 months later, she's down there again. Same deal. Now, the lawyer who was on O'Reilly's show, who's representing her,
yeah,
you know, they made it known that that's statutory rape. She's under the legal age, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing's been done to Planned Parenthood, you know. Basically,
we know, we've reported on this show that Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics all over the country routinely hide child molesters and rapists who impregnate young girls. It's part of their operating procedure. If they find out that a 13, 14-year-old girl has been having, that a 23-year-old guy, 24-year-old guy is having sex with a young teenager, they cover it up.
Exactly.
And they say, don't tell anyone. Come in, get the abortion, don't tell anyone. And we know they do this because we have hundreds of recorded phone conversations where this has happened. That's Planned Parenthood's typical operating procedure. And it's the law that if a health worker knows of a child who's the victim of a sex crime, they have to report it.
Exactly.
And Planned Parenthood never reports it because they don't care when kids are victimized by sex, because Planned Parenthood, they are child sex advocates. They approve of child sex. They cover it up. They're complicitous. They're accomplices.
You know, I go down to Planned Parenthood every Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible, the attitudes of the people who work there as they're coming to work, the security guards, the what we call the death squirts.
Oh, yeah, they're hardened child
killers.
They
laugh,
killers.
They're joking, and you ask them, how can you, how, a mother is going in there to kill her child. How do you find that funny? What do you find to joke about with that going on inside?
Right. Well, just, Mark, thank you for telling us about that segment.
Yeah, check that out tonight if you get a chance on his rerun.
Well, we don't have Fox News at our house.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll hear about it from our friends at church Sunday, probably.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy.
All right, thank you.
Adios.
God bless you. All right, let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Joe, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Yes.
This is, Joe. I have a few questions. I've heard your radio station off and on. I'm not a loyal listener because I'm not never around my radio at the same time you are on.
Yeah, all right.
But I heard your comments about homosexuals.
Yeah.
And I noticed that you do say that homosexuals who practice that lifestyle. What about homosexuals who don't practice that lifestyle?
Well, I'm happy to answer your question in great detail. But would you allow me to explore something first? You tell me, how about pedophiles who don't practice that lifestyle? How about pedophiles, admitted known pedophiles, who, for the time being, are abstaining?
They're still pedophiles.
Right. And so should they be treated like a normal person or treated differently because they're a pedophile?
They should be treated like normal people if they're not practicing.
So if somebody says, I'm a pedophile, and you know they're a pedophile, but they say, I'm abstaining. I'm not now having sex with children. I'm not trying to. Then that person, you would say, you would hire for a daycare center?
Of course not, no.
Okay, well then we need to modify your first answer. You said you would treat them like a normal person.
You didn't qualify which treatment.
Well,
you don't put somebody in a position, or at least that person who is a pedophile,
right,
should not even seek a position dealing with kids.
Well, chances
if they don't want to practice the sin.
Well, they will seek the position, though. They will seek a position.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, the vast majority will seek a position around children. And so if you know it's a pedophile, you have to do everything you can to keep them away from your children, the children in your church, in your nursery, in your community, because pedophiles, by the fact that they're a pedophile, they lose the right to be treated like a normal person. Now, isn't that all really solid thinking?
Yes, but I think you can go too far on
Well, of course, right. But that's solid, right?
That right.
If somebody says, I'm a kleptomaniac, I steal everything, but currently I'm trying to reform my life. I'm not going to make him a bank teller.
Right.
If he says he's a kleptomaniac. And if he's a drug dealer, I'm not going to make him a pharmacist. And if he's a pedophile, I'm not going to allow him around children. So now we get to homosexuals. So somebody says, I'm a homosexual, but I'm celibate. Now, are you aware that a few decades ago, the Roman Catholic Church made a decision at their seminaries in America that they would admit homosexuals to be ordained as priests as long as they said they were celibate? Did you know that the Roman Catholic seminaries made that decision in this country?
Actually, I was. In fact, I have been a monk. So
you're probably aware that homosexuals have been welcomed at most Roman Catholic seminaries in the country.
Yeah.
By a change of policy, because there was a time when if you were a homosexual, you wouldn't be admitted. But they decided that they would welcome homosexuals who said they wanted to be celibate. And partly as a result of that decision, the Roman Catholic Church is suffering one of its greatest crises in its history because of the epidemic of celibate homosexual priests having sex with altar boys.
I would beg to differ with you on that.
Okay, explain.
I would say that, I've been in the Catholic system. I know that there is a lot of homosexual priests.
Yeah.
Okay. But I would definitely say the majority of them are celibate.
And
if they're not celibate, they're not pedophiles.
Well, when you look at the statistics of just the number of priests in Boston who have molested kids, this is in diocese after diocese, parish after parish, all over the country. There are hundreds of priests who've already resigned. There's a number of bishops who've resigned because of...
Well, there are tens of thousands of priests.
Yeah, I know.
A few hundred.
There's a significant percentage. No, it's not a few hundred. It's more than a few hundred. There's a significant percentage of priests that apparently have molested kids. And you just said to me that if someone is a pedophile, you should keep them away from kids.
Agreed.
And if someone is a homosexual, you should keep them out of the clergy, away from the altar boys.
Why? Do you consider a homosexual automatically a pedophile?
No.
Okay. Then
no,
why,
but let me
why,
ask.
Why that comment?
But okay, try to understand this. Let's say you had a wrestling coach in a high school.
Right.
And the wrestling team had cheerleaders. Female cheerleaders. Do you think it would be appropriate for the coach and the cheerleader to be together frequently alone?
No.
No. Like when they're dressing for a match, when they're working together? No, because it's a man and a woman, so you want to keep them apart. You don't know that the coach is going to be attracted to the cheerleader. But because there's a significant chance, because of the sexual attraction, the man to the woman, you want to keep them apart. So if you have a man who's a homosexual, it's inappropriate for him to be in any circumstance where he's alone with a teenage boy or a young boy, because there's a potential attraction. Just like you don't let an adult man hang out with a teenage girl alone, homosexuals lose the right to be trusted alone with boys.
I don't fully agree with you on that.
Okay, so do you think heterosexual men should be fully trusted to be alone with young girls and teenage girls?
You're making a blanket statement.
I'm asking you a question. Do you think
heterosexual
men should be trusted, let's say, to travel with young teenage girls, yes or no, alone? Yes or no? We'll be right back. Hey, Bob Inyart Live here. This is this spot right now is for those listening only on the internet at kgov.com. Our radio affiliates, they're off doing other things. They're doing commercials hopefully for things like cars and aluminum siding, probably for things like weird prayer cloths and strange, I don't know, interpretations of the latest UFO phenomenon. Hopefully they're just advertising normal stuff. But here at Bob Inyart Live, we always advertise normal stuff. Like, for example, the death penalty. You can't get more normal than the death penalty. The death penalty. We've got a video called God and the Death Penalty. And some Christians, they pray for opportunities. They pray for open doors. And at Bob Inyart Live at Denver Bible Church, we say, Lord, will you please shut some of those doors? There's so many doors open, I can't even see straight. Because every crime story is an open door. Because the Bible is all about criminal justice. From beginning to end, it deals with the death penalty and perjury and the admissibility of evidence and the qualification of judges and the appeal process and the standard for a conviction. And David Kinzel. Oh, sorry, not David. Hi, Dave. We're on the internet only right now. Had a well-known local media guy just walk into the studio. And so anyway, that's what the Bible deals with. The Bible deals with those topics. And since the Bible deals so much with criminal justice, almost every other headline in a newspaper is an open door. If you know what the Bible says about criminal justice and about the death penalty, you get on an airplane, Christians say, oh, Lord, give me an open door. I say, Lord, slam them shut. I need just 10 minutes of peace on this flight. Every newspaper, every magazine is an open door. You show a headline to the guy sitting next to you, and you say, look at this. Look at this. This guy raped this woman and killed her. He needs to be put to death. I was just reading that in the Bible the other day. It says he needs to be put to death. And they'll say, oh, that was the Old Testament. No, that was by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans in the New Testament. Huh? And then you talk to the person. You say, hi, how are you? My name's Bob. You're going to hell. Have a nice flight. See, there's always an open door. All right, welcome back. Bob and Eric Live, 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. The Bible says that the Bible shows Stephen, who has irresistible wisdom. And if you know God, you have a foundation on right and wrong, you should be able to expose wickedness. Now, I have a simple question I'm going to pose to Joe from South Bend, Indiana. I want to know if Joe believes that our society is right when we don't allow men to be alone with teenage girls. As a general rule, if you're going to travel, a 23-year-old guy doesn't get to travel with a 13, 14-year-old girl. Oh, maybe to go to a playoff, NFL playoff game somewhere, stay in a hotel room. They don't get to change together, to use the same locker rooms. They don't shower together. If they're alone together to any significant amount of time, there's instant suspicion and questions. And it's stopped if there are responsible adults around. So I want to know from Joe from South Bend. I'll go back to him. Joe, is it appropriate that we not allow adult men to hang around with young teenage girls? Yes or no?
In that case that you just presented, I would definitely say yes.
Right. And the reason we don't allow that as a society is because we know because there's a general sexual attraction between men and women that even if there's no evidence the guy is a pedophile, if a man hangs out with a 13-year-old girl to any kind of intimate setting or alone or any length of time, there's a real chance he might make a move on her, so we don't allow it because we protect children. So now, if a man is attracted to men, then by the same standard of protecting children, we should not allow a homosexual man to hang out with young boys.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's one of the reasons that I say you treat homosexuals differently, even if they pledge to be celibate.
Do you believe that they're homosexuals can be Christians?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, well, the Apostle Paul was a murderer, and he was a Christian. David was an adulterer, and he was righteous and loved God, and then he was a murderer. And David's with the Lord, and I sin far too often, and I'm a Christian, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption.
Well, my question is then, if you believe that, then why do you categorize all homosexuals into one category and not allow, I've never heard you, never ever heard you on the radio say anything like that.
Well,
about homosexuals. They can be, actually be Christian.
Why would I?
Because it's true.
Pedophiles can be Christians. So pedophiles
right.
unite. Pedophiles unite as you walk with the Lord. I want to do everything within my power to condemn and stigmatize homosexuals. Everything in my power. You know, the guy who died next to Jesus, who was crucified along with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
he repented. He was forgiven by God. He put his faith in the Lord. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, yet he was still executed because he received his just punishment. And so if there's a Christian who gets drunk or he kills someone, murders someone, I'm not going to say nice things about that. I'm going to rebuke.
What happens if a homosexual has repented, their sexual orientation doesn't change, the Lord doesn't change them, they're still homosexual, but they live a Christian lifestyle.
Well, praise
they you know, they become a part of the body of
Christ. Okay, what happens is, praise the Lord, but they are not going to teach Sunday school for kids.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, the whole thing is, but you condemn them with the rest of the homosexual community.
Well, when was the last time you heard somebody ask this question? On my show.
I don't think I've ever asked.
Well, I've never
That's
answered
why I called.
It. I've never answered it. The problem, hey, Joe, believe me, the problem is not that Christians are being too harsh on homosexuals. The Christian church is as nice as it could conceivably be to homos.
I've heard really hateful statements coming out of the pulpit.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope so. There's a bunch of pervert child molesters in the homosexual community, and they're going to hell. We got to tell them that they're filthy perverts. They're so despicable.
But when you speak and you categorize every single homosexual as being that dirty, filthy person, you don't accept those that are a part of the body of Christ.
You're wrong.
That have
well, you're wrong. I just proved it when I said to you, Terry Johnston was a homo in Knoxville, Tennessee. No, Knoxville, Tennessee. In fact, we're on the radio now in Knoxville. And he called into the show a few years back. We have it on the whole thing on video. You could get the video if you want. And he just hated me because how I was condemning homosexuals on the air. And maybe he's going to hang up at any minute. And I want to lead him to the Lord and get him to ask God to forgive him. And so I tell him that he's a filthy, disgusting pervert. And he is furious with me. And he fights with me for 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, I finally said the condemning, rebuking thing that got through to him. I said, the men that have sex with you, they don't love you. They use you. And the guys you've had sex with, you don't love them. You use them. And then Terry Johnston broke down in tears. He started crying. And he said, you're right. Because I didn't know at the time, but he had advanced AIDS. And he got saved on the show. And then my wife and I sent him money. A couple people chipped in a little. We sent him money for a bus ticket to come to Denver so he could go to church with us and stay with us, not in our home, but hang out with us before he died. Because he said everyone he knew, including at his church, was a homosexual. And so on the way to Denver, he got to a clinic in Omaha. He had to get off the bus, and he died at that clinic. And the director called. At the time, I was on Channel 53 in Denver. And the director called the general manager there and said, I have to convey the dying wish of Terry Johnston that we thank those at your station for being the only ones, he said, to love him and to tell him the truth. And that was Terry. I can't wait to meet him in heaven.
Yeah.
He and I are good friends. And I've gotten to pray with a lot of homosexuals in the years of our ministry. In fact, I think way more homosexuals come to the Lord per audience member via Bob and Yurt Live than the average really nice church.
Well, the average nice church, they
there is nice.
I would say
they're as nice as could be for homos.
Is so far understood, so misunderstood, that I know that what your tactic is, and it works. I know, but there is those that are, who are saved.
Well, hold on a second, all right, Joe? Because if there's a kleptomaniac who's saved every night, do I have to say nice thing about thieves because some kleptomaniac is saved? Hold on, Joe. If we have time, we'll get back to you. I want to go to Elkhart, Indiana. Is this Miriam? Wait. Here we go. Myron?
Myron.
Myron. Hi, Myron.
Hey, what's up, Al?
Yes. Howdy.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment.
Yeah.
It seemed like the caller that was just on before me, it seemed like he wants what a lot of people with the gay agenda want. They want to be praised, and they want their lifestyle to be praised, and that's not what the gospel is here for.
Well, right. And on this show, we want to recriminalize homosexuality. We have a three-pronged approach toward dealing with homos. Recriminalize, restigmatize, and get them to repent.
Right.
But the least significant of the three is get them to repent. That's the least significant. The most important is to recriminalize homosexual behavior. That's the most important because that's what will protect our children from being molested and our young men from growing up to be homos.
Right.
And the second most important one is to restigmatize the behavior. And the least important one is to get them to repent.
You know, even if there are some homosexuals who have repented,
yeah,
that doesn't make them homosexuals anymore. Apostle Paul lists a number of things that people once were, but when they received Christ in their life, then he said, I mean, you're not those things anymore.
Well, you're a new creature, and you're identified with Christ, so
right.
You're not a sinner, you're righteous. But if an alcoholic gets saved, is he automatically no longer all messed up with alcohol, Myron?
Well, I believe he has to take some.
Right, he has to grow and mature,
right.
And it may be a long time before that alcoholic has really conquered his weakness toward alcohol.
Yeah, but, I understand that. But what I'm saying,
and the same thing is true with people into pornography, immorality, homosexuality.
Exactly,
the flesh. It takes maturity and growing in grace to overcome the tendencies of the flesh.
But he was wanting to keep emphasizing the point that people, just because a person or a homosexual who was in church or became a Christian, that they were still homosexual.
Well, and okay, but I want to go back to Joe. Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that of recriminalize, restigmatize, and get them to repent? Do you agree with those three?
I haven't thought about the first two.
Okay, well, think through those, and let's talk about them on another show.
Okay.
And then the least important one is to get them to repent.
And I'd love to hear your opinion about that.
No, it's not my opinion. It's the truth. And here's the reason. What's more important, to get a terrorist to stop killing innocent people or to get them saved? Which is more important? Our greater obligation is to stop the murderer from murdering, then work on saving him. This is Bob and Yurt remind you to do right and risk the consequences.